We're going to dig more into the issues around Roland Burris with Sherrilyn Ifill. She's a civil rights lawyer and law professor at the University of Maryland Law School. Sherrilyn, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you, Farai?
I'm doing great. So let's just go to a little bit more of this. This is what Roland Burris said to a pack of reporters at Chicago's Midway Airport yesterday.
I mean, I don't have to separate myself from Rod Blagojevich. He carried out his duties, and he filled the vacancy as according to law. Isn't that correct? Isn't that what the statute says? That this governor shall appoint a person to fill the vacancy. It didn't say anything about being tainted or being associated with or being, you know, stink. I mean, this is all politics and theater. But I am the junior senator according to every law book in the nation.
All right. What do the law books say?
Well, the law books say that, according to the Supreme Court's decision in Powell versus McCormick, that each House of Congress is essentially limited by Article 1, Section 5 of the Constitution to determining whether or not the candidate for office who's either been elected or appointed has met the minimum qualifications, that is age and citizenship and so forth. And this case, of course, came out of the efforts in the House to not seat Adam Clayton Powell after he was under an ethics cloud for misusing funds in office and for having various family members on the payroll. And Congress essentially said that the voters have the right to put into office who they want to put into office and that the House could not nullify the election of Adam Clayton Powell that the voters had endorsed. And everyone's talking about the Powell case. It's not exactly on all fours with the situation that we have here. There's no question but that Powell suggested that Congress's power is limited. But in that case, the court also said that Congress has an interest, a strong interest, in preserving the integrity of its chambers, and that in most cases, that interest can be realized through Congress's vote to expel members of Congress. So Powell didn't actually deal with this kind of case, in which you have an allegation against the governor, and not some wild-eyed allegation by somebody, for example, in the media, but an allegation lodged by Patrick Fitzgerald, a respected United States attorney. We've seen the transcripts, and some of us have heard the videotapes in terms of talking about the seat. We've had corroboration from other elected officials, including Jesse Jackson Jr., about the efforts of Blagojevich to try and get something for the seat. And the charges are about the very process by which the seat would be filled. So it seems to me it makes perfect sense for Congress to be concerned about a nominee who's selected by that governor, who's under this cloud, about his efforts to fill that seat in an improper and illegitimate way. The question is, technically, what can Congress do?
Right. Well, speaking of technically what can Congress and the Senate do, the Secretary of the Senate rejected his certificate of appointment, Burris's, that is, because it didn't have the signature of the Illinois mm-hmm. Secretary of State. So how does that play out? I mean, will there now be an attempt to, you know, try to get the Illinois Secretary of State on board, I suppose, by Burris's team?
Well, absolutely. That buys, you know, Harry Reid and the Democrats a little bit of time, because, of course, the failure of the Illinois Secretary of State to sign the appointment certificate does mean that the papers were not in order. And according to standing rules of the Senate, that appointment paper has to be signed by the state Secretary of State. So what that does is buy a little bit of time for some negotiation to happen. Obviously, Burris and his legal team are seeking to enjoin the Secretary of State of Illinois, compelling the Secretary of State to provide the signature, which they regard as being something that's perfunctory. So that's going to the Illinois Supreme Court. There are motions due on that on Wednesday, which is ironically the same day that Burris and his team will likely be meeting with Harry Reid and other top Senate Democrats. So that buys some time for the negotiation. Technically, the Senate is within the limits of the law right now because the signature was not there. If the Illinois Supreme Court compels the Secretary of State to affix the signature to the appointment letter, then we're really in harsh legal terrain, in which I think the Senate is in a much weaker position, technically speaking, as to whether or not they can choose choose not to seat Burris. I'll tell you one thing people aren't talking about, Farai, that I think the Senate can do, but which they may not have the stomach to do, and that is that they can refer the matter to the Rules Committee. If they believe someone was either elected under corruption or appointed under pay for play, they have the right, it seems to me, under Powell versus McCormick, to refer the matter to their Rules Committee and launch an investigation. They don't want to do that because I don't think they want to turn this matter into being about Roland Burris. This is about Blagojevich. And
well,
so the Senate is kind of caught in a strange position.
Well, let me jump in on that. Just a little bit of the cultural nuance of this. We spoke with Cheryl Corley just a couple minutes ago about U.S. Congressman Bobby Rush of Illinois' 1st District, and he called the U.S. Senate, quote, the last bastion of plantation politics. What does that say about the cultural debate about whether or not a black man appointed by a governor under a cloud of suspicion? I mean, what do we make of the racial politics of this?
You know what's funny, Farai? I think for lots of African-Americans watching that press conference where Blagojevich announced the appointment of Burris and Bobby Rush made his first, you know, statements about race, it was almost like a flashback. I mean, we'd had this whole election with Barack Obama. And then we had this moment where it looked like it was something out of the 80s. The reality is that the election of Obama shows us, and the election of Obama to the Senate shows us, that a black man can be elected to the Senate, that we don't need to get to the United States Senate under a cloud or under a tainted nomination that had been turned down by other folks who didn't want to go under the cloud. So I think what it shows, Farai, is that we've still got this generational split and this cultural split about race. You know, Bobby Rush, as I recall, I don't think he supported the candidacy of Senator Obama when he was running for the Senate against a white opponent. So if this were just about, you know, we've got to have a black person in the Senate, then we would need to show some consistency there. I think we're seeing, you know, people like Roland Burris and Bobby Rush, who've made tremendous contributions and who are of a generation who I think feel that perhaps their contributions have not been fully acknowledged and they don't feel appreciated. You hear Roland Burris saying over and over again, I am qualified, I am qualified. And he certainly has a fairly distinguished record of public service in Illinois. Mm-hmm. And so I think what we're seeing is that racial generational split just play out over this nomination.
Well, Sherrilyn, always great to talk to you. Thank you.
Same here. Thanks, Farai.
That was Sherrilyn Ifill. She's a civil rights lawyer and law professor at the University of Maryland Law School. She joined us from the studios of WEAA in Baltimore.